All right, at the end of the podcast today, we got a cool interview with Riley Green. Just kind of cold called him out of nowhere. We told him we would call, and he was like, huh, who's this? You'll see. And then also a very cool interview with a combat medic, SEAL Team 6 veteran, Don Mann, talking about Corona world and prepping for the next big thing. I mean, this dude was prepared for everything from nuclear to biological to bullets flying. So he's really interesting to hear from. So those are at the end of the podcast, right after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one.
We kind of do, though,
we
really.
Get the podcast.
I mean, sometimes we run out of time.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
It's like a can opener for cans.
Oh, yes. There's our gold.
It's yeah. We talked about it on the show. Basically, it's this little can opener, and it's for cans. And you're like, well, yeah, that's what can openers are for. No, I got this can opener. It's called a draft top. Did I leave it in here? I think I did. I don't know where I put it. But what it does is you put it on top of your can of like Coke or beer or whatever you got, Pepsi, and you just go, and it takes the whole lid off instead of just.
So it's like a cup. Listen,
it makes your can into a cup.
One of the most spectacular fails
in
the history of our show.
It worked.
You did it twice and it spilled stuff everywhere.
It's okay. Who cares about it being sloppy? When you're sloppy drunk, you don't care about nothing.
Oh, yeah. No, that's way better than just opening the can and drinking out of it.
All right.
Way better.
I'm just saying it's a can opener for cans, and it's great. I spent my whatever it was, $10 on Kickstarter back in the day, and I got it fulfilled. And look, anytime I have a Kickstarter invention that actually makes it to fruition, I get excited.
What other things have you gone through with that?
Man, there was an old 3D printer type thing that I had looked at. Also, the pancake bot.
Yeah. What about your alarm clock?
The alarm clock. Mm. What was that one called? I can't even remember the name.
It was the one where you had to go into the next room and punch the code.
It was genius. Look, it's the best alarm clock on planet Earth. So basically, the alarm goes off. You cannot hit snooze. There's no snooze button whatsoever. So to turn it off, you have to go and punch in a code, and that code is every day's date. So you have to be aware to go, oh, it's May 14th. So you go 0514. Every day the date changes, so every day the code changes. So you have to be awake to turn off your alarm. You have to know where you are and what you're doing.
I've seen those ones where they're like an app where it goes off, and then you have to solve a math problem. A somewhat complex math
problem. Kind of the same thing to kind of get your head going to get your brain thinking. But yeah, so it's a very cool alarm clock. But the problem is the company went out of business, but as far as I know. But the alarm clock is genius. I have an issue with it because I dropped it one day and it's not working right. So I need to get it fixed and I don't know who to bring it to. So I have the guy's email because I got the very first one. I was an early backer.
Number one?
The number one. It's signed. The two people who invented it signed it, and it's got the little serial number thing, and it's serial number 000 whatever one.
How many 001s do you think they made and sold to people?
Every one they made.
No, because here's the thing. They posted a video on their Instagram back in the day.
Yeah.
And, it's Ramos, R-A-M-O-S, alarm clock. And they posted a video on their Instagram, and they said, hey, we're signing the very first one. And you could tell it's the same one because they have all different colors that they had made them out of. So, and you could tell the signatures were the same. And, yeah, it was mine they signed on their little video.
So when you go to is it Kickstarter.com?
Yeah.
And you can just go and look at different products that you would like to invest in?
All kinds of crazy stuff, from musical instruments to businesses to whatever. And you just kind of go and help people, you know, fund their dreams. And then part of that funding, you get back the product early. You get to be one of the early adopters.
Hmm.
Remember I had gotten that toothbrush thing on there too, which that was an epic fail. I was so bummed about it. It was like a football mouthpiece. So you put like, you remember, it's like a football mouthpiece. So you put it in, and what it was supposed to do, it had all these little silicone brush things, and you hit a button, and it brushes all of your teeth at the same time, but it's hands-free. So you just bite on it, and you can still do other stuff.
I mean, it's pretty smart.
And your teeth are brushing, and like in 10 to 20 seconds, you're done, and it's touched every one of your teeth, all the crevices, all that stuff. Anyway, something happened, and they were never able to get a prototype get past the prototype stage. They couldn't get it into the FDA, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
But so you lose your investment in that case?
No, they pull you back. You get it back sometimes. That one I did. I mean, it was like $100 that I put in on this. Dude, how cool would it be to have a hands-free toothbrush?
But you wouldn't pay $100 for that. For you. I wouldn't pay $100 for
that. I would totally pay $100. I paid $100 for my little whatever it is that I have right now.
You paid $100 for your toothbrush?
For my electric toothbrush, yeah. I don't even know the name of Sonicare or whatever it is.
That's what I have.
Yeah, but like I've been using the same one forever. I don't know what their cost now, but you just change the top on it.
Yeah, speaking of technology, do you guys remember back in the 90s maybe, you could call your house number and then hold up a beeper to it or tone. And it would trigger your answering machine and tell you what your messages are. Do you remember that?
No, I mean, wow. I had a code you could put in. Yeah. Like you would do, like pound.
So
or,
Big
me,
D was probably before the code, yeah. There was a little tone?
If I recall, it's very fuzzy in my memory now. But yeah, I kind of remember.
I would just think that would be a security risk because all the people that would have the same kind of tone, I mean, there couldn't have been that many different frequencies. So all they had to do was just call your line and then.
No, I think everyone had the same one. But no, at that time, no one was worried about security. I mean, think about it. That really changed. So over the last 15 years, we've gotten more and more like weird.
Aware.
About it.
Not just weird, we're aware. We know that everybody's spying on us and trying to get our info. The thing is data is king. These companies make so much money off of your data.
Hey, what's the movie? Enemy of the State?
Ooh, Enemy of the State is some scary stuff,
I haven't seen Enemy of the State since it was new.
So
I saw it in the theater, and I remember being terrified.
So basically, that's the one with Will Smith in it, and he's being tracked by NSA, CIA, whoever. Acronym. And they are able to see him from satellites. They've got his stuff bugged. They have all these technical whiz bangs, they catch, and that's where we are.
And they had to use satellites, right? Like they didn't have drones at the time.
I think you're right. Yeah.
How far we've come.
Oh, I know, but the stuff that we had in that movie, the stuff that they
the stuff we have now, like those declassified UFO videos that I've changed, man. That's ours.
I think it's ours too.
And I think we're sending a little shout to China and all them saying, back up. We got stuff that you can't even imagine.
Yeah, like, I think so, man. Yep.
Like they said, everybody stopped going into the South China Sea or whatever a couple weeks ago. And so what do? We send a couple warships right in. I'm like, America. America.
I was listening to a podcast where it was a lady who worked for the CIA, and she was she was basically Q from James Bond, where they did the
inventions, the little gadgets.
Gadgets, yeah. And she said that back in the day, Elder Bush Senior, they had pictures of him. Like when he had a wig on and meeting with people, because he used to run the CIA, and she was saying how that they had different costumes and wigs and false noses. It's not my nose; it's a false one.
It's a false one.
And she said that they got better and better and better, and they ended up hiring the guy. I can't remember the movie where they pull their face off. It's like a
Mission Impossible
type thing. But it was early on, and they could pull off their whole face was fake. And she said that one of the people at the CIA called and said, hey, we watched this movie. Can we do this? She said, I'm not sure.
I'm so reading that article
out,
right
I'm
now.
Still talking. Well,
holy
and
cow.
So
this
she read.
All
right, go ahead.
No, I'm not saying it. You say it. I'm just freaking out. That's real.
Yeah. Okay. So it's tiring.
Yeah.
And so she reached out to the makeup artist who did it, and he worked for the CIA secretly for years. And she said that she went and had a meeting in with President then at President Bush in the White House, in the Oval Office, and at with a mask on, the full on mask, mm-hmm. and said, "Hey, we have a picture of you. Here's this. Remember, you're in this wig." And he was like, "Oh yeah, well I remember that." And she said, "Yeah, well we've come a long ways." And he said, "Yeah, I'm sure we have." And she goes, "No, we've come a really long way."
And she pulled the mask off.
She pulled the mask off.
So I'm showing the picture on Facebook for those who are watching. There she is.
Wow.
And then watch, I'll scroll down. There she is holding the head.
Is that picture in the Oval Office?
Yeah, with him sitting across the desk.
Yeah. So that picture was taken by the White House
That's
photographer.
Her sitting with him.
And she said she wanted that picture, and it took 10 years for that to get declassified. And finally it's out. I forget her name now. She's alive and
Jonna Mendez,
and it's pretty fascinating.
Oh my gosh, man, that is the craziest. Now, I'm sorry to get all excited on your story, but I got all excited going, holy crud, this is real, because wow,
what do you think
that's
we have
almost
now?
Almost unbelievable. Oh man, now we're doing like in Star Trek where they would put makeup on people but say that they surgically altered them, and we surgically alter people.
Well, yeah, like we've been surgically altering people for a long
time. Yeah, but I bet it's way better than the plastic surgery you can go get, you know?
Yeah.
We have some stuff that nobody has. Telling you.
Well, she also talked about how they had small, really very, very small cameras that would fit in cigarette lighters, but the cigarette lighter would work, in pens and that kind of thing. They were doing way back in the day. And she said it took... there were 8 different lenses to pull that off. She said the detail in the micro processes through that was incredible. And they had one guy who did it. This is one guy, and he made them. And they got to the point where, like, we need more of these cameras. We need to have another processing place that can do these. So they went to all of the major companies that make cameras and optics and said, hey, can you replicate this? And all of them said, no, we can't do that. So for years, it was one guy, and he made all of them.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. All right, so Carson just walked in. See this lady right here talking to President Bush? Oh, I'm sorry. That's not her head. That's a mask. She pulled it off like Mission Impossible style.
That's incredible.
How'd you Google that? What is it?
I don't know. I Google like a dude.
What's her name?
Jonna Mendez.
Jonna Mendez.
Yeah, look at this. So she pulled it off like in Mission Impossible. She said, "Here, you thought you were talking to this lady, but no, you were talking to me."
Wow.
And there she is, the CIA's chief of disguise.
Some of the masks they have her posing with are just downright creepy.
Have y'all been to the Spy Museum in DC?
Have. Yep.
I want to go so bad. Yeah, I mean, because cool. These are way better than what I see on Undercover Boss. Undercover Boss is the worst.
I was supposed to be going to DC next month, but
you gonna try to go?
No, because the event I was going for has been postponed. So, but now if it gets rescheduled, I have something else on my agenda: the Spy Museum. Because I didn't even know that was a thing.
I have been to DC so many times, and I've never gone, and I really regret it now because it's going to be one of those things that I don't think it's a. Is it a government run museum? Or is it a independent like thing? I think it's an independent.
I'm not sure.
And if it's independent, then it means it's at risk of going away. You know what I wanted to go see too is the news museum, the Newseum. It's not the Spy Museum. The Newseum is also not run by the government. It's run by like the news companies.
Oh.
So it's okay. It's kind of crazy. I'm gonna bing Spy Museum, I guess. Find out.
I thought they were closing the Spy Museum.
What's all in the news museum? What do they show you?
Like stuff from the news. Like,
like a camera?
Here's
like
a piece
Tom
of the
Brokaw's
well.
That, toupee and,
here's a piece of the well that baby Jessica fell down kind of stuff.
I remember when I used to give tours of NBC, we had various pieces of NBC history that were right there in various lobbies that you could see. And you got to see the SNL set. So that might be a better bang for your buck.
The museum is completely permanently closed. They closed December 31st.
And they had like the house that Kaczynski lived in, the cabin. They had all kinds of stuff. There is a, by the way, tomorrow, if you're listening to this before May 15th, there is a briefing where Johnny Mendez is going to be talking from the Spy Museum. You got to register for it. Oh, no, but it's free. Registration required tickets. But she's going to go ahead and tell people all about some of the stuff she did. So now I know what I'm doing at noon tomorrow.
I think she's also part, she was part of Argo, the movie based on the true story of the CIA.
She was part of the movie or part of the actual mission?
I'm not sure.
I'm sure she was a part of everything. When you're the chief of disguise and we have people who are stuck in a foreign country and threatened like that, I'm sure she had a part in.
She was part of things we wouldn't know because she was the master of disguise.
That's right. What was that show with Dana Carvey? You know what I'm talking? Master of Disguise?
No,
you've never seen it?
I don't remember that.
It was terrible, but it was also kind of funny. I know, like, he's the guy who would do, like, that. Oh, is it Satan?
Yeah, Church Lady.
Yeah, he would do Church Lady and all that.
He was Garth and Wayne
But
Garth
he did, like, the Turtle Man and all those other things. But, yeah, anyway, if you find it somewhere, watch it. It's cute. There, I'll say that. It's cute.
Have you guys seen Argo?
Yeah, a couple times.
It's pretty good.
Argo's really good.
It's based on the CIA operation where they went in to Iran to get some hostages out, and they used real filmmakers and had a real – they created a film company to go in and under the disguise or guise that they were going to make a film, and then that's how they got them out.
They were all supposed to be Canadians.
Yep.
So – they had their cover story, and they went in with all the fake IDs. They took all their pictures ahead of time and made fake passports and everything for the Canadians. And, oh, yeah, we've been through here. Yeah, we're good.
It's pretty fascinating, man.
Yeah.
A lot of people who are CIA that you don't realize. And another thing I learned was that – so there are people who are not always – like you think once they're in the CIA, they're always in the CIA. But many people who work for the CIA or other NSA, whoever, they only work for them for a few years or whatever, and then they have to get another job. Well, the problem is they can't talk about what they did. So now you have a guy or girl who is an expert in
something
that, but they're applying for a job to get out. That is like in, I don't know, construction, for instance. But they don't know anything about construction, but they have to lie and they have a fake resume because they can't say what they really did for all those years. So it has to be backfilled into something false. And they said that a lot of times they have problems with that. And the agency will, what do they call it?
They'll give fake backstories of what they've been
doing?
They'll
let them say that they work for the CIA. And then that... so it explains it. But he said that most of the time they don't allow that. And so they have companies that know, like a little nod, you know, they know that they're getting people from the agency, and they know, so there's a handful of people in the company that know that what they do on their resume isn't true, but they still hire them anyway.
Yeah, so
they
have like a relationship. Kind of.
Yeah.
They
so
kind
they
of
have
help with that.
An agreement.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you've got to imagine there's a weird gap in your resume, or when you're saying, oh, tell me about your project manager experience, and they're like, I've been over hunting terrorists. That's about the project I've been managing.
Or even crazier stuff. I mean, hunting terrorists, you can kind of say that. You can say, I've been hunting terrorists, because, I mean, you got people in the military that they can say that. But I mean,
right, but I don't know the stuff they can't say because they're not allowed to say it.
Well, I've been overseas because I was on this British baking show, and lo and behold, the whole time I was actually stealing secrets. Like, that's the kind of stuff they can't say.
How cool would that be to be on the Great British Bake Off by day? And then at night, you're
well, that
like,
was the story
working
behind,
with MI5 or something.
Julia Child.
Julia Child. Hello.
Julia
Child was a spy.
She was a spook.
That's the whole thing. Yes.
That's contested. But
no, it's not contested.
Not. Yes, it is. She worked for the CIA, but no one has confirmed that she was a spy.
Okay.
She always contested in her whole lifetime that she was not.
It's like Amelia Earhart.
Yeah, of course,
she's going to say
that. Roosevelt sent her on spy missions, but nobody's ever actually.
And then Bubba's going to use Bing to look it up. So what we get will only be half right.
This is culinary lore, and who would know more than culinary lore? They just said to say
lore,
as in a myth, a story.
This is what they're unconfirmed.
Saying. To say that Julia Child was a spy is an exaggeration.
Thank you.
Yet she did work for spies.
I'm sorry. Did I literally just say that?
Minnie claimed she handled, but you were not on culinary lore.
That's right. I was not on the internet.
So she had access to sensitive information, even access to identities of U.S. spies while handling documents. And she was a spy.
She wasn't a spy.
She was a spy. If you're a spy,
not everyone who works for the CIA is a spy.
Yeah, huh?
No.
How do you know?
Now, her husband might have been a spy.
Wow.
Yeah. It was much more likely that he was a spy than she was.
Julia Child was 6'2".
She was huge. Well, and her husband was like 5'8". So,
You are sending me down the Google rabbit hole later
today.
Her
husband was 6'1". He was an inch shorter.
Really? Oh, they portray him differently in the movie then.
What's the movie?
There's a movie about Julia Child.
What is
Spymaster?
It's called Julie and Julia.
Why are you looking at me?
You're the girl. You're supposed to know that.
If we're looking at girls here, Patrick. Like,
damn.
Julie and Julia.
Which is like half biography.
Is one her spy
and half,
name?
Yeah. No.
No, it's some girl who decides she's going to cook everything in Julia's cookbook.
Yeah. It was based on a blog by Julie Powell. But it's mostly a biography of Julia Child. It's really well done.
How do you know her name? The more you talk...
I saw the movie in the theater with my ex-wife. She wanted to see it. It was a good... And you know what? It was good because it got into that whole thing and her history and how they lived in France. That was interesting.
Can you say France?
France. Julia Child learned to cook in France because she was bored and she loved food.
And she was also looking for a good cover story for her double life as a spy. Yeah.
For the OSS?
No. So ridiculous.
We know, Bubba and I know of at least one person.
Yeah. That we believe is a spy. Yeah.
Yep. And you know what? And it's someone that we were talking to one time.
Shh, man. I don't even want to lead into it. I don't want to blow their cover, man.
You're so stupid.
What? I'm just saying. I don't want to mess with their cover. This is a friend, and I want to make sure.
You've said more than I've said.
Just stop saying.
You saying just it's a friend has said more than I said. You're not very good at this.
So Julia Child was tall. Really tall.
So it's this person that we know. As Bubba says, we're a friend. But we're not friends with this person. And so we're talking one time with her, and she leaves, and Bubba goes.
Did you just give us a gender?
See, he just did it again.
And Bubba says.
Actually, he did it, and then he's saying, I'm the dumb one.
And he goes, you know, she's totally a spook. And I was like, and it hit me. Yep. It's funny, when you said that, everything went click, 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 click. All the doors opened for me. And I was like, God, you're right. All the conversations.
I think the saddest part of this is I feel like I know this story, and I still can't remember who they're talking about because he's so vague. And this one's over here panicking because he said
I am panicking because I
Well, he just eliminated 50% of the population.
That's true.
So it is narrowing down.
Oh, well, good luck. but, yeah, there's a lot of people that you don't realize that have services to render to our great country.
And some can render things in the stove while rendering those services.
That's right.
Like Julia Child.
Like Julia Child. That's who we're talking about, by the way. It's Julia Child. We met her. We know her.
Yeah. Sure
we're friends.
Yeah. Yep.
We go way back. When did she die?
Like 2000.
Some of those people, they get ears, didn't she like go and cook for like very famous?
Yeah, like she could be cooking for, you know, a leader in some country.
And just listening.
And, yeah, you just kick back and listen to the table talk.
That was the whole Chuck Barris thing was that he said he was a CIA agent.
And that was the Gong Show guy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and he said he would go on, you know, trips with the winners as their chaperone, and that was how he his excuse to go to all these foreign countries and do assassinations and weird stuff.
What movie was that?
He wrote a book, and they turned it into a movie.
We had him on the show.
Yeah, we had him on the show. Yeah, he's dead now, but yeah, we had him on the show, and he was weird. But there's no way that guy was a CIA agent.
Which is
like,
why,
hey,
he
man,
was a CIA. That's why he was
Chuck
so good.
Barris. I'm
right.
this guy.
So good. He's so good
like
at
this.
It.
Yeah, maybe. That's the thing is, you want to go, this is crap, but you go, I don't know.
How many people do you think in the media are agents?
Oh, a lot.
Well, right now, like, I am honestly thinking Guy Fieri. Because everybody just looks at him as a big doof. But think about it. He
travels all over the world.
He's all over TV, so it wouldn't be a surprise when he shows up somewhere. You'd be like, oh, I know that guy. Let him in.
Was Anthony Bourdain a spy?
No.
I've heard that rumor.
No way. He was too messed up. I don't think he was stable
really,
enough to be a
spy. Really, because spies are definitely not messed up.
Well, they have so many people. And that's the best thing is if you don't. If we are sitting here and we come up with a list of people.
Like Elvis said he wanted to be a spy. Remember that? Because he travels.
Elvis? Yeah, he went to Nixon to become. He wanted
he was a deputy or something like that. A federal
he wanted
marshal.
To be like
federal,
a
federal. A federal. But he wanted to do it because of. He wanted to fight the drug use and all that kind of stuff. Which is
the most ironic thing ever.
Actually, he
Elvis
just wanted to be able to carry a gun everywhere.
And, yeah, I think so.
So Frank Sinatra was a spy.
Could have been.
Roald Dahl. Ian Fleming.
Well, Ian Fleming for sure was.
Okay,
I mean,
I'm just
he,
looking up.
He used the basis of his stories to create James Bond.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, this. I mean, it's all older people. Julia Child is on the list. There she is. So Harry Houdini, supposedly a spy.
Oh, yeah, I could see that.
All right.
You know, Elvis would not have been a good spy. Elvis never left the United States after he came back from Germany. So you think Elvis would have made so much money touring in Europe and around the world.
He didn't go to, I thought he did a Japan tour.
No, he went to Hawaii.
Okay.
He never left the U.S. because, well, one of the reasons they think is that the colonel was not an American citizen. He was like a Dutch or Norwegian immigrant.
So he couldn't go?
And he had been here illegally so long, he was worried that if he left, they would find out his passport was fake if he tried to reenter the country. So he never wanted to leave, and he never wanted Elvis to travel overseas because he went everywhere with him.
Oh. So we'll just believe your story.
That's not a story. That they tell you that when you go to Graceland.
So I'm looking on the Chuck Barris thing. The movie was called Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. It was directed by George Clooney, who also is a spy.
Yeah, he played George.
I mean,
George Clooney's a spy?
He lives in another country.
Well, there you go.
Well, he has houses everywhere.
Yeah, why? Because he's a spy.
He's got
bases. Because
he married
Those are safe houses.
An international lawyer.
Oh, another reason to
great
be a perfect
cover.
Spy.
Wow, you guys, really?
My thing is,
we're totally
from the Facts of Life, really, a spy?
The thing is, do we really need spies
they
now?
Got him
we
early.
Have cameras and technology
yeah, you
and
need,
everything.
Yeah, you
I mean,
nothing beats human. Human intelligence is key for everything. You can look at everything through a camera, but without the actual FaceTime and hearing and the recordings from being in the room, and who's going to plant those bugs? That kind of stuff. You got to have somebody on the inside.
Yeah, dude. You'd not be a very good spy.
Oh, God, be the worst spy ever.
Actually,
you'd
be a great
spy.
Because people look at you and go, there's no way he met the physical requirements.
From our previous job working for the big corporation, people will just tell me stuff.
Yeah.
They will just come. Carson, I can't tell you how many times people would just, one, or say things in front of me because they think I'm a big fat doof and I'm not paying attention. Oh, man, I got so much information. Out of that company. So much information before I was supposed to know it.
And Patrick
so much
knows
information
how to break
they were trying
into
to
doors.
Keep secret.
So I'm just saying he might
be
a spy.
That's not really true. And that was something I made up.
Might be a spy, Patrick.
He doesn't like to fly, though.
I don't like to fly.
And I feel like that's a big part of
John
your job.
John Madden doesn't like to fly. He's a spy.
Okay.
When his bus travels all over the country, what's he spying on?
He's spying on bus stops. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody has got to do the bus stops and the gas stations.
I mean, I could do
that's
that.
John Madden.
I hate to fly, but if they'll let me be a spy via bus.
Did John Madden die?
No, John Madden's alive.
Okay, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen him. When's the last time you saw John Madden?
Football season?
Really? I haven't seen him anywhere on TV in years.
No.
Only place I ever see him is his name on my video games. Which, by the way, is a perfect segue to the PlayStation 5 graphics that came out yesterday that dropped.
Oh, did they?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, send me that.
It looks like cutscenes. It looks like fake. Like, you know, when they do the... Oh, just... Are you on right now? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. It's crazy. I cannot wait. So this fall, the PlayStation 5 comes out, and it's photorealistic. It's the stuff that you always wanted from video games that they're going to be able to do, the lighting and the everything. Oh, it's just incredibly visually.
Are you sending me the link? Or?
Yeah, I was looking for it, but all I can find is low-quality crap, but I'll send it to you anyway. You're going to love this. That. And anybody else can just look for it later. Search for the PlayStation graphics. But watch this stuff in motion. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
That's actual gameplay.
Wow. The water and everything.
Dude. The dust and the rocks and all that.
So deep, man. So detailed. Wow. I'm like, well, that's $400 of my money. It's gone.
Oh, you $400?
I think they're trying to keep it. I think they're trying to keep it under five, aren't they? That's what I'd heard.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, whatever it is, I'm just take my money.
Oh, the night stuff is fast.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying. The lighting effects and the individual stuff. Like what you're not paying attention to is look at the person, the lady as she climbs the rocks.
Yeah.
She look at her hair and the bag and her outfit and everything moves independently.
Yeah.
It's
wow. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. It's like you're watching someone.
It looks like a cartoon rather than a video game now. I mean, we're getting closer to the uncanny valley.
Wow, that's gorgeous. Anything else, guys, before we get into the we got some really great interviews after the podcast.
Yeah, we do. Don Mann, who's a Navy SEAL, Team 6 combat medic. He is going to be talking all about life in the world of Corona and afterwards. Look at this. Did you see the part with the little roaches on the ground?
No.
Oh, dude, you got to go back and watch these roaches scramble when the light hits them. It's crazy. But anyway, yeah, so he's going to talk about life after Corona. We got sidetracked. Video games will do that to me so badly. But also we have Riley Green, who we talked to on the show to find out what he's up to during the Corona world. And so much to talk about. So yes. Stick around for that. It's right after the jingle. For those of you listening on Facebook, you'll need to go to listen to an audio version of the podcast to get that. Bye, y'all. Thank you again, because it's just always great hanging out.
It's like a what?
It's like a can opener for cans.
Oh.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay.
That's okay.
You can listen to the regular show.
Okay.
On the radio.
Okay.
Every day. It was the podcast.
I'm sorry. Please enjoy this Verizon ringback tone while your party is reached.
Why does it sound like there's a semi-truck in the background?
Tell them Large Marge sent ya.
Hey, Riley, what's up, dude?
Hey, who is this? I've got a phone issue.
Oh, it's Big D and Bubba. We have a phone issue, too.
What's going on, man?
How much, man? Are you in the woods or are you on a boat?
No, I'm actually in Mount Juliet. I had to come up here and check on my place. I hadn't been to my house in 2 months. Actually, I was still here.
Wow.
And,
so
I dropped my cell phone in the ocean yesterday, so it's getting repaired, and I've got a little $20 phone. But I didn't realize I don't know anybody's phone number until you need them.
Yeah, right. So this is your first time back at the house. Why? Did you just let
it go? Why would you leave? It looked like you were living the life, man.
I still got a house back in Alabama, and we found out the tour was canceled. We're out with Aldine, obviously, and I got on a plane and flew to Nashville and drove home, and I've just been out there fiddling around the house. I chased a bunch of turkeys around and built a little barn by my house. It's been pretty nice.
Yeah. So Bubba's pretty stoked about this new EP. It's
Valley Road, man.
Yeah, all acoustic.
Yeah, I always did everything acoustic when I started out, but it was just because I was broke and I couldn't afford to pay anybody to play with me. But I've always been a fan of that type of sound. You know, I like to go back and listen to people's songs, you know, kind of broken down, stripped down, and listen to the story. And, you know, it just happened to work out that we couldn't get in the studio. We couldn't all get together and record, so We did this from the house, and that's where I grew up at.
Yeah,
it was a Valley Road, so we called it Valley Road.
Do you know when? Have you talked to Jason about? I saw they had to leave their place because of all the fires. Have you heard from him?
That's right. I haven't even needed to. Holler him and check on him. Like, I guess that's I mean, it's just one thing after another this year. You know, I mean, yeah. My house out in Mount Juliet, we were, I guess, probably less than a mile from where that tornado came through. You know, I mean, it's just, and look, there's always something going on. We just had some rough weather and some bad breaks. I'm all hit reset on this year.
Hey, Riley Green's with us. He's got a new EP out. It's called Valley Road, and it's available now. It came out a few days back. So when do you think we're going to see country concerts back on the road?
I feel really unqualified to make any type of educated guess, but I've still got some dates on my calendar in July. You know what I mean? It's just hard to say. I've got a couple in June that haven't left yet, but it's just been like a constant parade of dates getting taken off my calendar, moved back, shuffled to the end of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I'm pretty confident that things are starting to get back to normal, it looks like. You know what I mean? It's funny for me, in the hometown where I'm at in Jacksonville. Say again?
Oh, no, your phone cut out.
Oh, you get what you pay for, I guess.
Sounds like talking to my dad. What'd you say? I didn't say anything. Oh.
Yeah. What'd you say? You know, it's where I'm at, you can't even tell it. I mean, like, my hometown, it's you know, it's small towns like that. You don't see it. Obviously, big cities are having to shut down a lot more than others, but it looks like people are starting to be able to get back out. I know they opened some things up today, even. So I hope it's soon. I mean, I've enjoyed the break, but I'm getting a little stir crazy and definitely missing the going out and playing shows part of it.
You tired of doing all the Zoom insanity?
And I'm so just not built for that. I mean, there's some people that maybe that are a lot better than me. But I struggle to talk to a camera or to a group of people that I can't see. You know,
yeah.
I feel like I always kind of feed off of what's going on in the crowd, and maybe I'm just not a good actor. I'm playing for a bunch of people, but
it's the weirdest thing, man. Having to read comments and try to gauge the room, if you want to call it that, by just reading what people are typing, it's tough, man.
Yeah, I just feel like when I'm looking at a screen and I see there's a little thing that says there's 5,000 people watching, whatever it is, I assume all 5,000 people are just frowning, like just waiting on me to get down.
That's funny.
I think people tune in just to see that awesome stash you got, man. Have you seen his mustache?
No, man. Oh, you got a superhero.
Look at that, dude.
Pure Magnum PI. Riley Green needs a Ferrari 308 and a Detroit Tigers hat.
My, oh, my.
Yeah. I'm thinking about growing my chest hair out and just letting that be my look.
Yeah, dude, I love it. No shirt and looks like he has some overalls on.
No, he needs to put a shirt on. Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Riley, we're looking at your stupid Instagram right now, and it's a picture of you with a fish.
And you're flexing. We see what you've. We see you.
And there's.
I'll be honest. It's Photoshop.
Yeah, right.
That fish isn't that big.
90,000 ladies all saying, marry me, wife me, marry me, marry me, marry me, wife me, wife me, wife me.
You think he's great. He's not.
They don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Well, hey, man, congrats on the latest EP. It's called Valley Road. You can get it to Riley Green. And, man, hope your house is all right. Like, hope you ain't got any squatters in there. You're going to walk in there. Going to have some people in your bathroom.
That'd be somebody to talk to, man.
Check him out on social media too. Riley Duckman. Riley Duckman, no spaces. You'll be able to follow everything he does and check out the music, Valley Road, and more. Thank you, Riley.
Hey, man, I appreciate y'all.
Take care, brother. Bye bye.
See you.
Don Mann is a former SEAL Team 6 Special Operations Combat Medic. He joins us on the hotline. And Don, I got to tell you, Bubba and I were just talking that we have to have you on our team when everything goes south again, because we're going to need someone like you.
Yeah, we need the MacGyver of prepper world.
Yes, that's right.
On our team and our crew.
You might be overqualified, but still.
Well, I'd be happy to be on your team. It'd be a lot of fun.
So with all this stuff going on, and I know that you have a long list of things that you've done. Basically, you did everything.
As a Navy SEAL, you've covered everything from desert survival, jungle, nuclear.
Yes.
Biological, like what we kind of went through with the pandemic.
How do people prep for something like this? I mean, now I know we're in it and it's, tailing on out. But the next time, what do you tell people? Like, hey, take it from me. Have this stuff ready to go.
Well, you know, I don't see it as a real
complicated issue. At the risk of sounding like I don't care, I do care a great deal. But I don't see it as a real complicated issue. I see it, I put it in the category as the world is being challenged. We have to beat this challenge. And there's nothing we can do about the virus. The virus is here. Recently, I teamed up with Purify. It's a hand sanitizer. It lasts for 24 hours, and there's a lot of information on that.
Wait.
And more.
Don, you just said there's a hand sanitizer that lasts for 24 hours?
It lasts for 24 hours. It was a company that used to sanitize and sterilize military facilities and government facilities, but then they went into the hand sanitizer mode, and now they make a hand sanitizer without alcohol in it that lasts up to 24 hours.
Dang, wow.
And so that means you only have to put it on once a day. Usually people put it on twice a day, but you only have to put it on once a day. So all I think, the simple way I look at it, and it makes it easy for me, I just assume I'm contaminated with the virus. I know I don't think I have the virus. If I do, I'm asymptomatic, but that's the way I look at things. And then everybody I see around me, I assume they have the virus. And so I don't do anything where I can, come too close to them. So I sanitize my hands. When I'm around people, I put my mask on. And it's not that difficult, really.
I can't tell you how many pairs of gloves I went through during all of this. I bought cases of gloves way back when. And I never thought I would ever use them. Because as soon as you swipe something with your card, you have to sanitize. Then you have to get rid of that glove, put on the next glove to touch something else.
But wait, crazy world. But Don, there are also people, and I kind of find that there's more and more of us kind of going this way. Are we kind of overreacting on some of this stuff?
Well, I guess depending on what channel we watch on the news, some say we might be overreacting. Some say we might be underreacting. The truth might not be fully known by anybody yet. But I don't see it as a big inconvenience by washing or sterilizing my hands or wearing a mask until we're absolutely sure.
Sure. Don Mann is our guest. He has a book out. He's got a bunch of books out. But one of them is called Inside SEAL Team 6, My Life and Missions with America's Elite Warriors. Don, when you are going out and you're doing these combat missions that, we'll never know about because they're classified or whatever, how much time are you typically given to, get ready to roll? Is it like in the movies where all the guys are at the a wedding and their beepers go off and everyone leaves?
It is. Like with the American Sniper movie, Chris Kyle, that's exactly how it is. It's we pretty much have a cycle in the SEAL teams. I'm retired now, but there's a cycle where for a couple of months you're on standby. That means you're within 45 minutes or so of your SEAL team that you're attached to. And at any moment, you can be recalled to fly off somewhere in the world. And that's the standby. And when you're not recalled, you're just training. You're shooting and diving and parachuting and doing all these training missions, preparing for the next hotspot, what we think might be the next hotspot. And that's standby. So standby, like when Chris Kyle was recalled and American Sniper, that was a standby mode. Beep, 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 beep. Your beeps go off and everybody's got to be at the SEAL team. There's a little warning order up on the board saying, okay, we're going to a desert environment. It's a hostage rescue. Get your bags packed. We're going to be wheels up. The plane's going to be wheels up within the next 4 hours, and you're gone for an undetermined amount of time.
Wow, so that's how they would do it. They couldn't tell you what actual place you were going. They would just say desert environment, and then you had to prep as best you could.
That's right, and you have a little cage at work, and you have your desert gear in one bag. You have your jungle gear in one bag, your air ops, for parachuting, in one bag, and you have your diving gear in one bag. And they might be more specific. They might say, okay, we're going to Yemen or we're going to Somalia. But then the briefing, if there's time, you'll have a good briefing at the SEAL team before you go. But sometimes the briefing's on the flight over because they're so quick.
Wow.
And there aren't really many units in the world that can react and get on a plane, pack the whole team, ready to deploy to someplace in the world within a couple of hours.
How many times have you done a mission, Don, and you get back home and you see it on TV and they're reporting on something that had to do with what you did and it was completely wrong?
You know, that does happen. It does happen. I can't really say how many times. Sometimes they just get a little bit of the information and they just, you know, they just distort the reason you were there and everything. But in my opinion, civilians really don't need to know all the inner workings of what SEALs are doing overseas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do their best to fill in the blanks what they don't know. But really, if they give out too much information, it hurts the SEALs' chances of surviving over there, because a lot of things you just don't want people to know. Like, see, you know, we've had news agencies meet us on the beach because they knew we were going to a certain beach in a Middle Eastern country. And, wow. And that's a terrible thing.
Yeah, that's not what you want.
That's not good.
No.
Well, no. Don, thank you so much for the time. And he's, like I said, he's got several books, over 20 books, including Inside SEAL Team 6, My Life and Missions with America's Elite Warriors. Thank you for your service, sir. And
thank you so much.
And
thank you for having me on your show.
You bet. Of course. All the best to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.